brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. I've got a couple questions for you for tonight's show. To start with, you've heard that the government issued new student visas to two of the dead World Trade Center terrorists, one being Mohammed Atta. You've heard that story. And Bush is upset that the INS, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, that they issued these visas so that they were cleared by the government to take pilot lessons, and the documents just arrived 2 days ago in the mail for the terrorists. So the two of the dead terrorists just received from the U.S. government brand new student visas saying they're cleared to take piloting lessons. Now here's the question. Why did that happen? Why? Now, you don't have to know anything about the intricacies of the INS. You can answer this at a broader level. Why did the government just deliver to Mohammed Atta a brand new student visa clearing him to take pilot lessons in the U.S.? Why did that happen? We'll get to that story. If you think you know, call us at 1-800-8-ENYART. 1-800-836-9278. If you get it wrong, we'll let you know. Okay. Now, this case, a Mexican national, here's another question. A Mexican national ripped off a number of Mexican immigrants here in America, charging them, between them, $12,000 for phony Social Security documents, driver's licenses, charged him $12,000. He was caught. Okay, so you've got a Mexican national who's ripping off other Mexicans who have immigrated here to this country, and he ripped them off $12,000, plus he's selling them illegal government documents. So what should the punishment be? What the government did is they have sentenced him to jail for a couple months, and he has to pay restitution back to the immigrants that he swindled. But think about it. They were trying to purchase illegal government documents. So what should the proper punishment be in that case? That's question number two. All right. Yesterday, we talked about Andrea Yates being the poster child for the feminist. And Patricia Ireland and all these leading feminists in the country, Gloria Allred, they're all coming out supporting Andrea Yates. And why? Because, well, she killed her kids. And to a feminist, it's a sacrament to kill your kids. There's nothing you can do that would make you a greater woman than to kill your own children. That truly emancipates women. When women around the world, when every woman has killed at least one of her children, then the feminist movement would have reached its pinnacle. So what Andrea Yates did to them is a sacrament. Like abortion, infanticide, and killing your kids. It's just an exclamation mark at the end of the phrase, pro-choice. Pro-choice, Andrea Yates. So for them, this is a case of religious freedom for the feminist. And the president of the NOW, the National Organization for Women, their Texas chapter, has become pals with Russell Yates, the husband, even though he embraces conservative Christian values, and she calls herself a pagan atheist. So we've got more on that. And then this is the breaking news here on Bob Enyart Live. Now, Bob Enyart Live airs around the country on Information Radio Network and worldwide on the web at kgov.com, kgov.com. And the news is out that the Senate began debating yesterday a new auto fuel efficiency bill. They want to increase fuel efficiency by as much as by 50%. So that, think about it, how many miles per gallon does your SUV get? How many miles per gallon does your nice size pickup get? Now, somebody just told me 3. Okay, that's really bad. But the average SUV gets somewhere around 20 miles to the gallon, whereas the average passenger car gets somewhere around 28 miles to the gallon. And so the Senate is saying, well, here's our new bill. Over the next 10 years or so, we're going to increase that by 50%. 50%. So the cars and the SUVs, they're going to be getting a lot more. For an SUV, closer to 30 miles per gallon. Now, what does that mean? That means you can't do it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The cars would be, it'd be too difficult to build them. We wouldn't know how to build SUVs that get that kind of mileage. Well, according to a Republican senator, John McCain, Republican of Arizona, and he's all behind this. Right. And in fact, he's working with the Democrat senator, Kerry. And these two senators, John Kerry, who's a Democrat of Massachusetts, they're saying that no one in America will have to drive a smaller car. Now, the conservatives are saying, well, you're going to have to drive a smaller car if you're going to, the government orders you to get better gas mileage. And these senators are saying no one in America will have to drive a smaller car. They're saying the technology is available today to meet the higher standards. So we were perplexed about that. How can that be? How can it be that an SUV today could really get 30 miles to the gallon instead of 20? I mean, think of all the billions of dollars we'd all save. So we called John McCain's office in Arizona, in Phoenix, and talked to an aide, and we think we got a scoop. It turns out that KGov, Bob Inert Live on IRN, has a scoop. We've scooped the rest of the media. And it's this. It turns out that John McCain is going to introduce a new measure to amend a law of physics. You know the law of physics that says for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction? Well, John McCain is saying that that law has been around for as long as anyone can remember. And that law of a bygone era is out of date and no longer helpful. And it was reactionary anyway. So McCain is going to introduce an amendment to the law that every action has an equal and opposite reaction after this.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and call people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christlike, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Inert Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Inert rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Welcome back. Bob and Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So far, my call screener tells us we've got no one even close to the answer. The questions, why did the INS issue Muhammad Atta a brand new student visa? They cleared him to take pilot lessons, and they delivered that document. It arrived in the mail 2 days ago, 6 months after the attack, to the day. How's that one? So why did that happen? And the Mexican national who sold illegal Social Security cards and driver's licenses to immigrants, what should his punishment be? He ripped them off $12,000, and what should happen? All right? That an American judge ordered him to pay restitution to his criminals, to his victims, I mean. Slip of the Freudian slip. Okay. Now, so it turns out that we have the scoop. We've scooped the mainstream media about John McCain's bill that he's going to bring up in the Senate, a new measure to amend the law of physics. You know, the old law, which is no longer all that helpful, which is every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Well, his amended law states that every action has a 10% greater reaction. And one of McCain's staff members told us that the average taxpayer will not even notice this minor change in the law of only 10%, yet it will do wonders, not only in passenger car fuel economy, but it will help move us toward energy independence. So Senator McCain, Republican from Arizona, is going to urge his fellow senators to use the power vested in them by the people to modernize this out-of-date law. Okay. Our phone number, by the way, if you can't get through on 800-8-ENYART, you can try 1-888-8-ENYART. That's our order line for people to get the monthly Bible studies, the literature, the tapes, the videos. And during the show, we pull those lines. So you could try 1-888-8-ENYART. Let's go to the phones. In Niles, Michigan, Mark, speak your mind.
Yeah, I want to comment on your mileage yes, subject matter.
Yes, sir.
You're making a great point, and I want to point out that all of this is just to avoid the fact that these congressmen, and this is one of the weakest Congresses I think we've ever had, one of the most spineless, do not want to take really any serious drilling for new oil, so they just want to get more mileage out of what we already have.
Great point.
They're heartless about drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, which is a barren tundra.
Yeah, they're afraid of spilling the oil on the ground. It's already in the ground.
Correct, and then in Lake Michigan, here's a little-known fact. On the Canada side of Lake Erie, guess how many oil wells Socialist Canada has in Lake Erie?
How many?
2,000.
Wow.
The state of Michigan has 7 Lake Michigan slant oil drills.
What a shame, huh?
Yeah, the state of Michigan, 7, Socialist Canada, 2,000.
Right. You know, it's just like how the conservatives, how America lost the Vietnam War, not because we couldn't win the war, but we lost to the liberal media.
In part, yeah.
That's who defeated us. It wasn't the Viet Cong. We didn't lose to them. We lost to the media that turned America's policy upside down.
Like the Pentagon Papers and whatnot.
Well, and just the whole attitude, mm-hmm, that Jane Fonda and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, that America was the one in the wrong, and the communist Vietnamese were peace-loving, wonderful people.
Right.
And now history tells us that the conservatives were right, and they were bloodthirsty thirsty murderers who slaughtered hundreds of thousands of their own people.
Yeah, and now the media makes it sound like any independent U.S. oil policy
right.
is some huge crime against the environment.
Right. We could drill for oil on our own lands.
That's right.
Oil and gas. And you know what else we can get as a byproduct? We could get a settlement for the Israeli-Palestinian problem. Because we can tell the Arab world that unless they completely cease and desist immediately from supporting terrorism
right.
by the Palestinians, mm-hmm. we will have a national wartime effort to become energy independent within 10 years.
I don't think there's a desire to be independent, though. I think the way our internationalist system works in the upper echelons of our power structure, they want this dependency.
Well, that's true. And really, economically, it's not that we need to be independent, but we have artificial constraints on our production.
That's right. And the Great Lakes thing is a great example. The federal government is overriding the state of Michigan and telling the state of Michigan that it doesn't approve of slant oil drilling from under the lake bed.
Right now,
so the states are totally buckling to federal power rather than invoking the 10th Amendment.
Mark, let's say we opened up the drilling and we drilled the way we should.
Right.
Just practically. Not constrained by political correctness.
Yeah, not by arbitrary regulations. Right.
And so we're drilling in the Arctic, in Lake Michigan, or wherever we're drilling, offshore drilling in the Gulf. But it turns out we can buy oil cheaper from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Well, then it's very wise for us to go ahead and buy Mexico's oil cheaper and let them deplete their resources while our resources are still in the ground and reserved for a time when perhaps it'll be more expensive. So the problem is the unnatural constraint.
Right.
That's the problem.
And we just need to be more sovereign in the way we do things and not always throw ourselves in with the policies of other countries and just be a little more independent. And like you say, you could play with the market a little bit.
Like Iraq. Let's talk about Iraq for a moment. Of course, they've made billions of dollars over the year from oil exports.
Right.
But we hear liberals on the news shows constantly telling us that Iraq is not involved in terrorism in any way. Except for trying to assassinate the president of the U.S. in the 90s. Other than that, they tell us Iraq is not involved in any way. Well, 2 days ago, Saddam Hussein, he doubled the amount of money he gives to the terrorist suicide bomber in Israel. He now gives them $21,000 to the estate of every suicide bomber. Everybody who kills a woman and some children in a pizza parlor in Jerusalem, Saddam Hussein, the government of Iraq, gives that man's family $21,000. He's buying terrorist attacks. He's buying them.
Plus, Iraq is implicated in the Oklahoma City bombing.
Well, we've talked about that on this show, some strange links.
Right,
to Iraq.
And there's evidence for it. It's not just conjecture.
Yeah, there is some evidence, and it's a rather bizarre story, but it's out there. I mean, the evidence is there, and how do you understand it?
Well,
Mark, I want to thank you.
Yeah.
Really appreciate your call.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
Okay,
see ya.
Bye. All right, so now how does it turn out? Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Why does the INS issue a brand new student visa to Muhammad Atta? We know his face. His face has been on TV how many times in 6 months? About a bazillion. A bazillion times. And we know his name. I know in the first few weeks after the terrorist attack, I kept forgetting. And I would have to ask our studio audience. I would say, what's the name of that terrorist? Atta, what's his first name? What? Muhammad. How can I be so stupid? How can I forget that? Every other terrorist in the world is named Muhammad. I wonder why that is. They are the children of their father, who was a murderer from the beginning. So anyway, Muhammad Atta gets in the mail, even though he's dead. What's a little detail like that how's that going to stop the INS? He gets this student visa that clears him to take pilot lessons in the U.S. Why do they do this? Why do things like this happen? Oh, and by the way, so the INS spokesman, of course, it's all over the news, and George W. Bush is furious about it, as he should be, but I don't think he understands why things like this happen. This is common. This is totally common. One member of Congress in Washington said, this is the way it is with the INS. We are completely accustomed to utter failure from the INS. That's the way it is. Why, though? Why? The question is why. Here's the answer. I read this story in, what was it, the Wall Street Journal? Today, heard it on the news, and then read the story in the newspaper while I'm sitting in a local Starbucks having a cup of coffee. I'm having a cup of coffee. Now, I'm on a diet, so just straight coffee. And I'm working out and really feeling great these days. And I read this article about the INS sending a student visa to Muhammad Atta, giving him permission to take piloting lessons in America. And so I said to the woman behind the counter, I said, did you see this story about the piloting lessons? We get permission to Muhammad Atta. She said, yeah, isn't it horrendous? I said, now, why do you think we do this? Why does the government mess up so many things? Big things, horrendous things. I mean, government officials are saying, just when you think you've heard the worst that can possibly happen, then something even worse happens. It's so hard to fathom. If somebody made this up in a book, people reading the novel would think, oh, this author is so stupid. That's totally unbelievable. And there it is in real life. Stranger than fiction. So I said to the woman, I said, you know, Starbucks, you guys make coffee. And the coffee Starbucks makes, now, it's not quite as good as some of that micro-roasted coffee we get out of Indianapolis. But it's pretty good stuff, Starbucks. I said, you guys make great coffee. You have fabulous service. Everything is quality. You do it so well. Why can't the government do what they do well? And she said, I don't know. I said, well, think about this. What if Starbucks didn't just do coffee? What if they also did auto insurance and hot water heaters and they put in backyard pools and they sold O-rings to NASA? Pretty soon, Starbucks will fall apart. They'll get a track record similar to the government because they're doing too much. So the government is doing too much. It's going far beyond its proper boundaries. In the Bible, God shows us that the government has two jobs, only two just functions, to defend rights, as in the criminal justice system and the military, and to provide infrastructure, as in roads and bridges and waterways and airwaves, those type of things. That's the only two things the government is supposed to do. And if the government only did those two things, then it could do them both very, very well. But the government does everything. It does everything. It takes care of kids from cradle to grave, from healthcare to food to agriculture to education. Denver, goodbye, and we'll be right back.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Hey, you must be them N-York people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So
kindred freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart. So if you could give me a buzz, my name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that majority of gays in this country are better people than you, better than you, or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against n***** too, right? Yeah, n***** Let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check my Bob.
Welcome back, Bob Inyart Live. The lines are full, so hold off. If you hear somebody hang up, you can try 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. So if the government is doing everything, if it's doing health care, and it's doing food stamps, and it's doing housing, and it's doing education, and we could go on and on and on with everything it's doing, then it's too unwieldy. You can't manage it. It doesn't work. When it becomes everything to everyone, it breaks down internally. It can't work. It's like when Xerox, the best photocopy company in the world, Xerox, decided to come out with computers. And they made great computers, PCs. Oh, I forget if they were PCs or mini computers or mainframes. They came out with computers 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And they lost $1 billion because they were good at computer. They were good at photocopiers. And the computer business is so different. And so Xerox lost $1 billion with a B. So when the government, for example, in Colorado, at the state legislature today, they're working on education. In fact, our governor, Bill Owens, is at a education conference with the U.S. Education Secretary, Rod Page. And they're working on an auto insurance bill. And they're working on the horse racetracks and the dog races. What's going on? They're doing all this stuff that none of which they should be doing. And so the government doesn't function properly in the things that are crucial, like protecting us from terrorists. Think back, just as a symbol, you know, where are your governing officials when really important work needs to be done? Well, they might be sitting in a classroom somewhere doing something they have no business doing. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. Josh, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Josh.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How old are you, Josh?
I am 10.
10 years old, and you're on the radio around the country. You're moving quickly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I was, when you were talking about the government doing too much, I thought about this candid camera show.
Yeah.
And there was this...
Was this with Alan Funt,
the
host?
Yes.
All right.
And it was a color one.
Yeah.
And so this bulb company, they got... Their name of their company is Just Bulbs.
Just Bulbs. They sell light bulbs?
Yes, they sell light bulbs.
Just Bulbs.
And they're going to make a new extension, and that'll be Nuts. So it'll be Just Bulbs and Nuts.
You mean nuts, like the kind of nuts you eat?
Yeah.
Like California, the land of fruits and nuts?
Yeah.
Oh, Just Bulbs and Nuts on Candid Camera.
Yes.
Oh, and so how did their customers like that?
Well, some of them were kind of excited, but there was this one guy, and he was like a business evaluator kind of guy.
Like a marketing guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he was thinking, okay, these guys are not getting the picture here.
Yeah, he probably read the classic business book called Positioning, which is required reading for anyone running a business. But, yeah, you can't have Just Bulbs and Nuts. You can't have Just Bulbs and pet food.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Well, they were trying to do Just Bulbs and oven mitts, too. So.
All right. And so the customers, did most of the customers like it?
Well, some of them like nuts better than bulbs.
I guess so. Hey, Josh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
But what a good example of it just wouldn't work. It doesn't work. A friend of mine had a restaurant, and he said he bought a restaurant, and the cuisine is going to be Mexican and Italian. And I said to him, why don't you just take the money that you put on to buy the business and just throw it away? Just throw the money away, because having a Mexican-Italian restaurant is not a good idea. You could have the best Mexican food in town, the best Italian food in town, but you can't mix them. It doesn't work. And so the government has got everything from Blue 82 15,000-pound bombs and intercontinental ballistic missiles, and they've got crackers you could get at the local food bank. So from ICBMs to crackers and cheese, let's go to St. Joseph, Michigan. Carl, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing well, sir.
This is Carl in St. Joseph.
All right.
And I was wondering about your position on copyright.
Yeah.
I understand you believe or you think that copyright ought to be law.
Yeah, intellectual property. For example, if someone makes a movie or writes an opera and they license it to people to perform it or to show the movie, then they have the ownership of that movie and they could either let people see it or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I to tell you the truth, I would disagree with that.
Oh.
Once you publish an idea, it's in public.
Well, an idea is public, but a detailed expression, not just an idea. For example, an idea is two families that are at odds with one another have kids who fall in love and come to a tragic end. That's an idea. And so 10,000 people could write stories like Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone makes a movie like We Were Soldiers, and they make that movie, and they produce it, and they say, we'll only distribute it and sell it to people who honor our intellectual property rights, then you have no right to tell them, no, I refuse to honor your intellectual property rights. And if you did that, Carl, what would happen to the people who spend millions or billions, literally $1 billion, No, $100 million, I think, is one of our most expensive movies, to make a really good movie. What would happen to people who create symphonies and talk shows? If you can just bootleg them.
The programs?
Yeah, the programs, the music, the operas, the Broadway plays.
I think the...
How about the software? You know, software is just intellectual property rights.
Right.
So you mean every software program in the world, every software developer would lose his motivation. And so all the progress we've had, I mean, nothing has helped mankind get ahead more than PC software for productivity.
That's true.
The most significant thing in the history of the world for men to conquer disease and to feed themselves and to clothe and house themselves, take care of their kids, is PC software. And if you tell people you might work for 6 years, 50 hours a week on this program, but as soon as you get done, it's free for everyone, you're going to destroy.
Well, you wouldn't spend your 50 hours a week and 6 years to make a program knowing it was going to be free at the end.
Right. They would instead, people who do that would maybe limit themselves to the service industry where they would put together bean burritos and they'd get paid or you wouldn't get the burrito.
Well, like you just said, software has given us tremendous benefits.
Yeah.
And some of those benefits are not necessarily monetary. Simply having a benefit would provide an incentive for somebody to write software.
Well, not for... Well, I disagree with that.
Well, I am a computer programmer, so...
Yeah, and so am I. I worked for Microsoft for a while. I worked for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company and wrote for PC Week for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And some software, it takes years of development, and the people developing it will never use it.
Right.
And it's extraordinarily difficult and expensive, and it takes this awesome talent, but they know that once it's there, there are tens of thousands of people around the world who will want to use it. And so they go through all that effort to develop it.
Okay.
And you'd lose that. You would just flat out lose that. You'd have people developing software only for their own immediate direct needs.
Well,
and not to help one another.
Well, for instance... there was a program, SSH. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
No.
So terminals can securely connect to, you know, a mainframe or
right.
a mini computer somewhere out there.
Yeah.
And it originally started as an open source program.
Yeah.
And
that means, for the benefit of the audience, that means it wasn't proprietary. Anybody, the creator of the program, put it in the public domain so anyone could have it.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then Carl, when we come back, make your best argument.
Bob Enyart teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah, and you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks, every Sunday night. We record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible. You can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYARD.
All right, we're going to go back to St. Joseph, Michigan. Hey, two calls tonight from Michigan. One from Denver, one from Michigan. Our number, 1-888-8-NYARD, 1-888-836-9278. So, Carl, go ahead. Give it your best shot.
My best shot?
Yeah.
Well, once you own something, it really is yours, and you should be able to do with it what you please.
Yeah.
And if not, at the best, you need to have a signed contract to say, let's say you buy a CD.
Well,
the people who sell you, who actually own the intellectual property,
right?
They need to sign a contract with you, and
so
for you to not be able to do whatever you wish with that CD.
All right, Carl. Now you've said it. Now it's my turn to beat you up for saying it.
Oh, come on! You can't beat me up on this one. I'm right.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Men of honor don't need a signature; they need a handshake. They need an agreement. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And so if you purchase something that says copyright on it, then you are agreeing. That's what the copyright means. It means if you purchase it, you're agreeing to honor the copyright. And if you won't honor your word, then you shouldn't buy it. And if you do violate your word by buying something that's copyrighted and then begin to duplicate it, then you're culpable. You're guilty of committing a crime. Thou shalt not steal.
But wouldn't you say that in a governmental policy that they don't rely on people being Christian, or law shouldn't be made according to that?
No, I would say that law should be made according to when you give your word, that's binding. You don't, even in America, even in our laws, you don't need a signed contract.
That's true.
If somebody says, I will do that, and you pay them a dollar, and then they don't do it, then you could get your money back in court because they violated the agreement. And so you don't need a signed contract. That's rather legalistic.
Okay, but you would say that purchasing something would be your yes, as it were?
In that case.
Okay. How long should a copyright go for? Forever?
Well,
pretty much that's it.
That's not it. Our copyright laws, a copyright, you could renew it under, I'm not sure what circumstances, but I think they generally expire in a few decades, but they could be renewed. Like if the original author dies, then the estate could renew the copyright
for a certain period of time. What would be the right kind of law to have, though?
I would think that the estate should have the right, if there's anyone representing the owner. Just like real property, the estate could own that copyright in perpetuity.
Yeah, so forever pretty much would be.
Forever. If someone claims ownership of it. If no one claims ownership of it and it's in the public domain, then there's no longer an owner. Like Shakespeare wrote these plays, and he died hundreds of years ago, and now anyone could do anything they want with any of his works. And that's appropriate. And the same thing is true with, let's say, the Bible. You know, nobody owns the text of the Bible. Now, the different translations are owned. So, all right, Carl, I disagree with you completely.
Well, yeah, that was one of the... I kind of figured you were going to say forever.
Yeah.
Because anything else would be arbitrary.
You're right. That's right.
And, I was hoping to get you on that, but you don't go for...
Well, I try to be consistent.
I wasn't going to give you that one.
All right.
I had to make you come to it.
You were ready for me.
Yeah.
Well, Carl, thank you very much for the interesting debate.
Well, if I have something else I disagree with you on, I'll make sure I call you up.
Do it. Thank you.
All right.
All right. I appreciate that. So, yeah, copyright, intellectual property rights. Oh, boy, are they important. So, all right. and for the principal. Now, how's this? In Colorado, the government is getting tough. Here is our new get tough policy. Our new get tough policy is this. All future sex offenders, by the way, our Republican governor is ready to sign this bill. All future sex offenders can expect to spend some time on parole. You heard it here. I just read it straight out of today's Rocky Mountain Snooze. All future sex offenders can expect to spend some time on parole. They're really getting tough, aren't they? They're cracking down. Now, I didn't finish the sentence. That's after they're released from prison. You see, our Colorado State Supreme Court is letting 1,100 sex offenders, when they get out of jail, they don't go through parole. But you see, we're totally against parole here at Bob and Yurt Live. We prefer execution. And then, you know, they say they want them to be supervised. They need to have supervision. And we figure, hey, God is the best supervisor in the world. So somebody rapes a woman, then just execute him and let God supervise him. God could do whatever he wants to do, and that'd be great. All right, hey, Bush is reducing money for the Forest Service. It's funny how liberals exaggerate. It's the end of the world. The end of the world because Bush is reducing money going to the Forest Service by a lot, too, $541,000. $541,000, and the Forest Service is whining and crying that they're going to have to eliminate 57 employees, including 18 scientists, 18 research scientists, 57 employees. Now, how much is that per job? How much do you think does it cost to hire a scientist? And what do you pay an employee at the Forest Service? Well, that $500,000, 57 employees, that's about $10,000 per job. $9,500 per job. What are they talking about, 57 people? What scientists do they have working for that kind of money? Oh, they give the scientists a lot more proportionally. So they give the scientists $18,000 a year? It's ridiculous. They just exaggerate to no end. You know how much the Forest Service gets each year? $4.9 billion. Billion with a B. And Bush is cutting it $500,000. And they're complaining they're going to have to lay off people. $4.9 billion. They could not even notice. They could not even notice if we cut their budget $540,000, if we cut their budget $540,000 and didn't tell them we just did it, they wouldn't even notice. They would not even notice. So, hey, have you guys in Texas heard about a problem up north? Up north, we have a problem like they have in England. You know they have the mad cow disease? Well, we have a cousin of the mad cow disease. It's called chronic wasting disease. It's a problem we have with deer in Colorado and elsewhere. Wyoming, just some states have this chronic wasting disease. And it's a similar disease to mad cow disease. Only so far it hasn't jumped to humans. And we're thankful of that. But it's a problem. In Boulder, Colorado is where these infected deer, that's the furthest south that it's come so far, as it's been creeping southward. Boulder, Colorado is where every liberal freak in the world lives in Boulder, Colorado, except for the ones that live in your town. But all the others live in Boulder. You cannot swing a dead cat in Boulder without hitting a homo. That's how bad Boulder, Colorado is. And so the Department of Wildlife in Colorado, they shot with a sharpshooter, a rifle, they shot 12 deer on the border of Longmont and Boulder. And they found out that of those 12 deer, they just took 12 random deer, a small little herd, they found out that one-third of them had chronic wasting disease, CWD. A third of them. Now, for the public school teachers out there, how many deer was that? How many? How many? All right. Well, our studio audience knows the number, but I'm not going to say it on the air. I'm not going to let the teachers cheat. In Colorado, this is standardized testing week. And the teachers are all complaining. The reason, I know I'm on a rabbit trail here, but we were talking about deer, so rabbit trails are okay. In Colorado, only 14% of 10th graders passed the math test. Only 14%. And the public school teachers are saying, yeah, well, that's because we don't teach that stuff. No kidding. They think that's an excuse. They think that's an explanation. Well, anyway, back to this. One third of the deer, of the 12 deer, four had the chronic wasting disease. Now, we know that that's a tiny little sample, and you need to kill more deer because the only way to test them is to take brain tissue out of their skull. And we don't know how to do that and keep them alive. So you kill them and you check. And the liberals in Boulder have voted to stop the state of Colorado, just the county commissioners. They voted to stop the state from killing any deer in Boulder. So they cannot kill any deer in Boulder. They want to cull the herd and they want to see the extent of the problem and try to stop it from going further south. Maybe one day the deer in Texas will show up with chronic wasting disease. And you know what the ultimate fear is? That it's going to jump to another species. Maybe to cattle. I mean, that's a real fear. According to biologists. So the liberals in Boulder, Colorado are so ignorant that they won't let the Division of Wildlife, of all people, cull the herd and research the extent of the problem. One county commissioner said sharpshooting in public parks, well, that's a real bummer. That's not why we bought the parks. That's how liberals think. That's how they think. You know what I hope? I hope this disease doesn't spread further. Because it's a bummer for hunters, for nature lovers, for everybody. It's a bummer, except if deer come into your yard and eat your garden, then maybe you have a different opinion. But we hope the disease stops. But if it continues to move south, I hope that counties south of Colorado, south of Boulder, and states south of Colorado, I hope they sue the living daylights out of Boulder. Because we have state wildlife biologists and officials saying that this could be a disaster of huge proportion for the wildlife, economically, for ranchers, for the economy. And I hope we can keep those commissioners personally responsible, personally, and sue the state. By the way, the Mexican who charged $12,000 for false driver's licenses, he should be flogged. The immigrants who were buying them, they should be flogged. And the restitution money, that should be paid to victims of stolen identities, not to the criminals. This is Bob and Yurt reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.